Some weeks, everything seems to end up in the lap of Congress. This week, the issues range from A to Z, the so-called Apple backdoor, to the Zika virus and whether more money ought to be appropriated for that and for what agencies. And also even whether the military should start requiring women to register for the draft. Plus, the 2017 budget uncertainty of just weeks ago keeps slipping further away. Joining me with our weekly look ahead, CQ Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins. And David, it looks like they've got a pretty full plate coming up.
This is the full plate time of the year. If an issue is going to get resolved in Congress, especially in a presidential election when the calendar is shortened by lots of campaign priorities as well as just logistically, people want to be back home and campaign, things have got to get started in March. I mean, that's sort of the basic rule of thumb is you got to get an issue off the ground before the spring in order for it to have a chance of happening.
Now, there have been some curveballs, though. This Apple deal looks like something only in the executive branch, maybe eventually the Supreme Court. But now it looks like Congress is kind of dealing with this a little bit also, the backdoor idea.
Well, that's true. I think both sides in the Apple Justice Department standoff have said life would be made a lot simpler if Congress could write a new could legislate the new ground rules for consumer data security in the internet age and in the handheld device age. It's a pretty tall order. Josh Earnest, the White House press secretary, said last week he was speaking with I think appropriate skepticism and understatement when he said this is not the kind of thing that complicated, heavily lobbied, highly technical issue that Congress tends to take on in an election year, but I suppose it's possible. I would tend to think it is unlikely that it'll get done this year.
Because it could give a fig leaf to everybody involved. It would give the Justice Department a way of saying, well, see, you know, we're not the heavyweights here trying to destroy civil liberties and privacy. And Apple could say, well, see, we're not the heavyweights here succumbing and giving a backdoor to everybody's privacy for time immemorial.
That's true. It would give everybody a fig leaf, but the inverse of that is both sides, both the sort of civil liberties, personal privacy side, which as you know, is got some pretty heavy tech company lobbying involved, and the Justice Department law enforcement side are going to be both be pushing pretty hard to get the upper hand in this debate. And I think Congress is genuinely torn. I mean, I think that I've talked to a couple of members who say they're really, you know, it's a genuinely bedeviling thing that they haven't thought about that actually does cross party lines, because some Republicans are sort of more civil liberties minded and some are more law enforcement minded and some sort of haven't figured out where they want to come down on this. So it is not as though this is something that would have an easy solution as a matter of policy, let alone as a matter of politics.
And besides, even fig leaves can crumble and fall off down in the fall. So it could change down the line, too.
That's right. I don't think Congress genuinely understands where the public is on this. There's some polling on both sides, some polling that shows the public thinking that Apple should give in and some polling showing the public thinks that the Justice Department should lay off.
And what about the Zika virus? Because that seems to be still being under debate, whether the money should be raised, appropriated, extra money for the different health agencies to deal with it. And I think this comes at a time when no one's quite sure what the extent of it is going to be and really scientifically whether the effects that are purported to it are in fact purportable to it.
Oh, I think that Congress and certainly the CDC and the Centers for Disease Control and the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, both feel like this is a big deal. It's now presented itself on American soil in that there's now, a pretty high concern that it's come to Puerto Rico. So the president has requested $1.8 billion in what's called an emergency supplemental spending bill. He wants Congress in the middle of this budget year to essentially grow the federal budget by $1.8 billion to throw some money at finding a vaccination and also combating it on the ground, starting in Puerto Rico, with both the CDC and the NIH getting the bulk of the money. The response to that on the Republican side, led by Speaker Paul Ryan, who's something of a budget hawk, is good idea, but we'll have to find cuts elsewhere in the budget to offset this $1.8 billion.
That's the quaint old-fashioned PAYGO idea
it's
coming
the old
back.
That's right. It's very old. It's an old-fashioned PAYGO. Now, in theory, an emergency supplemental is supposed to be off the books. It's supposed to be, you're just supposed to add spending. I mean, this is what happens with hurricanes and other natural disasters. They just basically grow the budget. They add to the deficit. They don't find offsetting money. At this point, Paul Ryan says that's what would be necessary for him to go along with a mid-year spending bill.
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor of CQ Roll Call. And I wanted to ask you about the nomination of Beth Cobert to be the director, the permanent director of the Office of Management, of the Office of Personnel Management. Kind of an odd thing to call someone with a 10-month period to go as a permanent. But that has become contentious on Capitol Hill also.
It has. Contentious in the form of one senator, as listeners may know, one senator can put a hold on a nomination. I'd say it's a power of a single senator to hold up business in the Senate, and one of the easiest ways for a senator to protest something that might be totally unrelated to the matter at hand is to put a hold on a nomination. So in this case, this is David Vitter, the Republican senator from Louisiana, who ran for governor last year and lost, and has subsequently decided that his chances of being reelected to the Senate this fall aren't so great, so he's retiring from the Senate. But he still has one issue sort of in his teeth that he has above all others, which is trying to gum up the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, in the eyes of Congress by making congressional staffers have the worst possible treatment under Obamacare, which is to say not be able to buy as easily the federal government insurance, but have to go on the exchange markets to make a very complicated story very simple. This is his way of trying to undo Obamacare, and he is saying that he is going to hold up Ms. Cobert's nomination until he gets some satisfaction on that front. It's something he's been at now for 2-3 years.
All right. So I guess, though, in the long run, if she doesn't get it, she's still acting and the administration runs out. So there's not really a lot of leverage in that move, I guess, with respect to Republicans and Democrats that may not want to go that route.
I think that's an absolutely good point to make, Tom, which is that with 10 months left, I think both sides can sort of get a little bit of what they want here. Bitter can continue to pound the drum on this issue, but at the same time, she's still effectively on the job. She doesn't have the official diploma that says she was confirmed by the Senate, but in almost every other respect, she's doing the job.
And there's good life after federal government, even if you were in acting. I've seen it dozens of times. And let's talk about the last issue of getting back to the Speaker, Paul Ryan of the House. Apparently, he's losing faith that the budget order that he had predicted early on, I know this happened already in the Senate, now he's saying this is getting away from us.
He is, and it does seem that way, that the early optimism is already fading. The House Budget Committee has postponed consideration of the budget. There was some hope that they'd get that done before their spring so-called Easter Passover break. Now I guess that's a little bit up in the air. There are, conservatives want to reopen the budget deal, and they are the conservatives who opposed the idea of spending a little bit more money, not a little bit more, but 7% more last fall in order to sort of grease the process and get Congress out of town last fall. They are trying to reopen that agreement. They're threatening to withhold their support for any budget legislation of any kind unless they get what they want. So the only way around that is to essentially put the normal budget process on hold and let things run normally.
Great week coming up. David Hawkings is senior editor of CQ Roll Call. As always, thanks so much for that update.
Thanks, Tom.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.